Have you ever heard the saying that there are no dumb questions? Well, that is wrong. There are some dumb questions. The number one dumbest question I've ever heard is...
Now, would you like fries with that?
On this episode of Food Faves, let's talk about the best food ever discovered. The French fry.
Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy.
Hello? Okay. Episode 12, Food Faves, French fries.
Peanut butter and jelly. Chocolate and peanut butter. Spaghetti and meatballs. Popcorn and butter. Bacon and eggs. Apples and cinnamon. Yeah, I think you know where I'm going with this. Awesome food combinations, right? I miss the best one, though. Burgers and fries. Actually, scratch that. Anything and fries. Fried potatoes, or fries, or better known as French fries in some places. The staple to many diets. A culinary masterpiece that is so simple, yet amazingly delicious. Fast food restaurants have them, and I don't know about you, but I've never met anyone who hates French fries.
Me gusta mucho. I love French fries. I love fries. I don't eat them too much because they have a lot of oil, so I rather like baked potatoes. However, fries are more tasty.
I absolutely love French fries. French fries are my guilty pleasure, and if I could eat them every day because they were healthy, I would eat them every day. I am vegan and, well, I would like to say plant-based. I'm plant-based and gluten-free, so I don't eat French fries as often as I would like or as often as I used to. But once I eat them, then I eat them like several times. So once I get started, I usually go through a cycle of eating them every other day or something like that. But I try not to do that too often anymore.
That was my sister in the United States. And before that, my friend in Venezuela, Marlon. So am I wrong? How popular are French fries where you are?
Fries are every day in every kind of food. In restaurants and at home, because people love fries. Everybody loves fries. We have McDonald's everywhere in Venezuela. Right in front of my building, we have a huge McDonald's store. But not only McDonald's, you have a lot of stores that sell fries, especially fast food stores. You have hamburger, hot dogs, and you have fries all over in all those restaurants. If you go to a supermarket, you find them in the fridge to buy and take home and fry and fry them at home. So it's very popular. Well, if you want chicken, you say chicken and fries. Or if you want a meat, steak, you usually they ask you if you want potatoes. Not only in fries, but potatoes, baked potatoes. But basically, most people rather like fries. I think everybody likes fries instead of baked potatoes. Sometimes people ask for rice or pasta. However, fries is like part of the plato, of the dish. So I think people eat fries in Venezuela every day. De hecho, in fact, the first food people eat in Venezuela, I mean, the food that people eat the most is corn. Corn is with what we bake arepas. But the second one is potatoes, fries. The second one, even is on top of bread.
I think they're regular popular because they're the go-to side for pretty much any restaurant you go to. All restaurants, I think, serve French fries as a side, and you can actually order them by themselves. So I would say pretty much, it's just, I don't know that it's popular. I think that French fries have just become their own big thing. So I think everybody loves French fries and everybody eats them, and it's inexpensive. So restaurants can put them on the side with any of their meals. So.
Wow, you said regular popular. In my mind, they are super popular.
I don't
Did you know that there's even a National French Fry Day?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, no, I had never heard about that. French Fry Day. That day, we have to go to a restaurant and eat French fries.
But I'm just thinking, French fries pair very well with things. So, you know, whoever created burgers and fries, that was pure genius. Because that's like the best combination is burgers and fries, in my opinion. And then you might have chicken sandwiches and fries. So I feel like that's like become its own thing. And that's why I said regular popular. But I did recently go to a restaurant, and that's kind of what they were known for, is burgers and fries. And so their fries were actually very good.
So is all this talk going to trigger you to want to start eating meat again?
No, definitely not.
But where did this amazing idea to fry a potato come from?
I can give you the history on burgers, I think, but not on French fries. I don't know if it was in Germany or in England.
That is a very interesting answer because literally has the word French in the name.
Well, I didn't assume they came from there, though.
No, I know.
Is that where they're from?
Well, in doing some research for this, I saw that there might be a sort of debate between France and Belgium as to who came up with the idea of fried perfection. Now, Barbara, you live in Belgium right now, right?
I do. I live in Brussels, the capital of Belgium.
Now, have you heard that too, or what have you heard?
Absolutely. So I thought the debate was whether it was France or Belgium, because the story that I'd heard was that fries became popular after American soldiers in World War II had them in Belgium, but erroneously called them French fries. So the story that I read was that in Namur, which is the capital of Wallonia, which is the French-speaking part of Belgium, when the river froze over in 1680, people decided to fry potatoes instead of the fish that they were used to. But even this story has had its detractors. So I read that this culinary historian, what a nice job to have, Pierre Leclerc, he said that it's not plausible because potatoes wouldn't have been in the region and fat was a luxury for people of limited means. So he thinks it's more likely that it came from Paris. There was something called the pomme Pont Neuf, which is a deep fried potato sold on Pont Neuf in Paris. But then again, it's still not clear whether this is true or not. And this other culinary historian called Madeleine Ferrière had a nice phrase, which was, the fry is the daughter of street cooking. That's why it's so hard to establish its birth certificate. So I would say I live in a country where they would lay a claim to it. And there are some avenues that make it seem like it does come from here. And people here do eat fries an awful lot, but it's not very clear. I really thought it was that people thought it was French, but it was Belgian, but actually it might be French or not at all. Who knows?
But regardless, you say they're quite popular there, right?
So fries in Belgium are extremely popular. The four things that are associated with coming from Belgium, it's fries, it's chocolate, it's beer, as previously discussed, Reggie, and it's mussels that come from Brussels. There's what they call frietkots, which are kind of French fry stands, and they are everywhere in the country. They're a little bit ramshackle, as I was reading, which is kind of true. It's one of those situations where just because a place doesn't look fancy doesn't mean it won't have great fries. I definitely read this in the past, but I couldn't find the citation needed. Maybe one of your listeners can help me out. But I read that in Brussels, where I live, 52% of people eat fries once a week. And by eating fries, it really means eating fries as a main dish, because I think apart from maybe poutine in Canada, Belgium is one of the few places where people will eat fries as a main. You know, when you go and buy fries, you can have small, medium, large, and there's a whole array of sauces. You know, the classic is mayonnaise, but you eat it traditionally in a cone with some sauce, and it's kind of filling enough that you can, that it's enough. You might also find funny, Reggie, there's a sandwich called the mitraillette, which translated into English means submachine gun. And it's basically a sandwich with meat and fries in it. So I think it's meant to be like the fries are bullets. And yeah, again, you can have vegetables in it. You can have all different kinds of sauces. But I read that in northern France, this sandwich is called l'Américain, the American, because they think it resembles kind of overstuffed American burgers. So
that sounds about right.
So yeah, French fries are very, very important in Belgium. I think what you also might find interesting, I'd forgotten about this news story. So when the coronavirus pandemic hit in March in Belgium, in April 2020, there was an excess of potatoes in Belgium. So the Belgian Potato Association, Belgapom, which is a great name because pomme de terre is potato in French, they literally asked the country to have, like, as a civic duty, to eat fries twice a week, because otherwise, I think there was something like 750,000 extra tons of potatoes that would have gone rotten. And they were really struggling because, you know, normally people go to the Fricot and eat fries so regularly. But then, you know, when lockdown hit and people were at home, there was a big issue. So fries are very important in Belgium.
Okay, so much to unpack here. All right, eating fries as a civic duty?
Yeah.
Now that is what I'm talking about. Now, you said submachine gun sandwich. That's appropriate because I always feel like fries are going to be the food bullet that eventually ails me, you know?
Absolutely. I'm vegetarian, so I don't know if you know, but traditionally Belgian fries are not vegetarian. They're fried in beef, which is one of the reasons I think why they're so flavorsome. You know, I'm vegetarian, but of course I'll admit it. I have had a vegetarian mitraillette, which is very nice on some kind of fancy bread. But very often, you know, cheese croquettes are the only thing that I can go for. But despite it being the kind of Belgian tradition, I think because of people of different, you know, immigrant backgrounds who might want halal, and with the rising kind of vegetarians and vegans, it is becoming more common to try and find, you know, a different way to make them. But it's true that traditional Belgian fries have this very strong flavor and taste. And I think it's related to that. And possibly, if I understand correctly, from double cooking. So I think the way that Belgians make fries is they cook it once almost to the point, then take it out and then fry them again, which is why they're so crisp as well.
Yeah.
It's making me hungry.
Yeah, me too. It's always a good time for fries, man. Yeah. I heard that Belgium has the best fries. Fries, like among the top fried potatoes in the world. I don't know. You can speak on that because you're well traveled.
In terms of fries, I would agree. You know, because actually, when I moved to Belgium, I didn't realize that the Belgian fries weren't vegetarian. So I had a couple of months of, you know, trying out the different ones, working out which was my favorite fricot in Belgium before I found the vegetarian ones. And I think it's just one of those things where it's very difficult to have bad fries. I feel like whether you have them at a restaurant or, you know, as a meal on by itself, I would say that the fries are good. In terms of other potatoes, though, I mean, obviously Belgium, I forgot a key thing that Belgium is famous for, the waffle. On other things, say like waffle fries or curly fries or other things, I wouldn't say that Belgium is particularly good, but I just think it's not at, you know, such a big part of the cuisine in Belgium. So I would say for the traditional fries, yes. For the others, I would say, you know, from being in the UK, where I feel like every time I go back, there's some different variant of fry, like, you know, yeah, thin fry, you know, even sometimes kind of crisps cut up, you know, very, very small to have something crisper. Even, you know, veering out of potatoes to have like zucchini fries or something like that. I think other countries innovate a bit more, whereas in Belgium, traditionally, it's fries that are the best, I would say.
Well, you know, honestly, I did not know the history. As much as I love French fries, I should know the history on it, but I just know that they go good in my mouth. I love French fries.
Rare time when we agree. Now, I want to get back into the different cuts of fries in a little bit, but you mentioned a cone of fries. What's that about? Sounds amazing.
So in Belgium, as opposed to the UK, I can come to that. When you order fries, you get them in a paper cone. So literally it's a cone like this with a big opening, and they're scooped into the cone so you can eat the fries as you're walking. So you have your cone and you eat the fries as you're walking. So obviously you start with like a big surface area of fries, and then down it goes. You know, the more likely you are to get sauce on your fingers as well if you're eating. And you can do that. Whereas normally if you order fries or chips in the UK, it's a bit different because they'll normally just come in kind of the square kind of packaging, or if they come with the fish as well, you know, everything will kind of be wrapped up. And yeah, I think it's a bit more tricky to eat as a kind of takeaway thing. Whereas most fricots in Belgium, you do not eat there. You get the fries and you take them away. You eat them en route, or even, in Brussels, there's this square called Place Jourdain, So it's a square that has this big fricot in the middle, so famous that Angela Merkel, when she came to visit Brussels, she went and got some fries there, and there's all these pictures of her there. And because it's a square with lots of bars around, you have, and I can send some pictures, you have bars that say frites are welcome. So you can go and buy your frites in this place in the center of the town, and then you can go and have a drink, even inside, and they will happily let you eat your fries there and the drink, even though it's two totally separate establishments. So yeah, it definitely is a kind of, I mean, of course you have burgers and steaks and you eat fries with them separately as well. But yeah, the traditional way to eat it is, yeah, in a cone, takeaway with your sauce of choice.
I like that, fries as a main course. That is my kind of, you know, between that and then you said waffle, beer.
Mussels, chocolate.
Well, yeah. Mussels, I don't know about that, but.
I'm not a huge fan.
But waffles, chocolate, beer, and fries. Belgium, if you could pick up Belgium and put it closer to the equator, this sounds like my kind of place.
You absolutely need to visit. But yeah, I think as a general rule, all of the ones I've had are very good. And sometimes, you know, there'll be a line for 20 minutes, but people will queue up. And even when you go to something like a music festival, or I went to a beer festival, you'll have lots of different food stands. But very often, the one with the biggest line is the frites stand, the fry stand.
So Babs, I'm also curious about some of the other places you've lived too.
Yeah, I am originally from Portugal. Both my parents are Portuguese, but we moved to the UK when I was 5. And then to Luxembourg when I was 13, just to mix things up a little more. But since 2013, I've lived in Belgium, in Brussels. Yeah, so I'm complicated.
No, you're well traveled. You've been all over the place. That's amazing.
I feel very lucky.
So what are fries' popularity like in Portugal?
So yes, in Portugal, what's interesting is that both fries and crisps or potato chips, they're both called batatas fritas, which is fried potatoes. But whether it's, you know, a dry one or a not dry one, it has the same name. When you're on the beach in Portugal, sometimes you have people coming by to sell you food. Very often they will sell you donuts and crisps, which is not so, you know, an expected beach snack. When I told my Italian friends that, where normally you buy fruit on the beach, they were like, that's definitely heavier. And it's like, yeah, but it's good. It's good to eat a nice packet of crisps. I think also in Portugal, it's more common to have a dry potato chip as an accompaniment to even something like steak than to have a potato chip. And I think in Portugal, very often, they are much thicker, much, much thicker. So it's not like these narrow things, like you were saying, like the steak fries. It's not quite like a potato disc, but it's just, yeah, a little bit easier to kind of, if you're having, you know, a steak with some sauce, to kind of soak up the sauce as well. So yeah, that's my experience of fries in Portugal, and you definitely wouldn't eat it as a main course by itself.
And in the UK, they're not called fries, but...
chips. Called chips, yeah. They are called chips, and potato chips are called crisps. That's the difference.
In the UK, they're equally as popular, would you say? Or?
So in the UK, there's obviously the fish and chips culture. So you have the chippy, as it's known there. And I guess there it's a bit more of a variety, because you can pick up the chips by themselves. But I think normally you would go for fish and chips. And there's a few other random things like mushy peas and pickled onions. I don't know if you're familiar with those, Reggie. But so mushy peas, it's kind of like, I feel like, I don't know, peas that have been hammered a little bit. So they're mushy. So it's almost like a sauce. And a pickled onion is like a big onion that's been pickled. And I mean, you don't usually eat it in one go. You kind of slice it. But if you really like that intense flavor, you can have that too. So I would say in more coastal cities, obviously, where there's more likelihood to have fish and chips, that's just much more normal. But inner city places would have chippies too. And I think there it's more, well, I guess actually maybe not so dissimilar to Belgium, where it's a once a week kind of place. Like you're not going to get chips every day, but you'd be going there. From my experience of the UK, the quality is extremely variable. Having not grown up in a place near the sea, I remember when I went to university, most of the time I was eating fries, they were kind of tasteless. And then I went on a trip to Portsmouth and the Isle of Wight, so south coast of the UK, and then the Isle of Wight is an island just off the off the coast, and I had what possibly were the best fries of my life, you know, because it was, they were fresh with salt and vinegar, salt and malt vinegar, which is the traditional kind of flavoring in the UK that not everyone likes, much like Worcester sauce as well, and HP sauce for fries as well. And it was just, maybe it was the setting as well, like lots of salt, lots of vinegar by the sea, seagulls around, incredibly nice. Whereas, you know, if I went out of an evening and then went to the kebab place to get fries, because, you know, that's, you know, kebab shops, it's something that, you know, is Middle Eastern, but definitely in Germany and the UK especially has really grown in popularity, and it's become more and more traditional that if you go on a night out and you get a little bit drunk, you get a kebab on your way home. So as a vegetarian, I'm not getting that. I'm getting some onion rings or I'm getting some fries. And very often when I'd get fries on a night out when I was at university, they were not good. They were really, really not good. But that's because, yeah, I wasn't going to a proper chippy, or, you know, I wasn't by the sea. I went to university in Warwick, which is near Birmingham in the center. So I think the quality is much more variable, but that's the traditional kind of fish and chips way. I think in terms of fries as an accompaniment, as I said, I think the UK has so many more varieties of fries, but even not even fries, just potatoes as a concept, you know, having dauphinoise potatoes as a side is very common. Having, like I said, sweet potato fries or curly fries. I mean, maybe the US has even more than that.
Speaking of different cuts of fries, which cuts are you familiar with, and what's your favorite?
I know shoestring. I know steak fries. I don't really, is there a French cut? I don't know.
What? How could you forget crinkle cut?
Oh, crinkle cut. Yes, that's not one of my favorites, but I do eat them.
What?
I know. I eat all fries. Let's be clear. I eat all fries. I eat all fries, but I have my favorites and I have my not so many favorites. And so I have found some gluten-free, because I can't eat frozen fries anyway because they mix them with gluten, so that I don't know what they use, like wheat or gluten, to help thicken them or bind them or to cut, they cut the potato. But I did find one at Whole Foods where I can have some frozen fries when I don't feel like making my own. And so those are good. And so the best ones out of those are crinkle cut. So crinkle cut, steak fries, shoestring, and then your regular basic fry, which is the best.
Shoestring. In Venezuela, we eat them for hot dogs.
On top?
On the hot dog. On top of the hot dog.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mi gente.
Never curly fries? No. Garlic fries? No. No. Standard cut? And as I told you before, steak. Steak cut. Those are the most popular ones.
All right. So how are the originators there in Belgium doing?
I would say it is maybe twice the thickness of, let's say, a McDonald's fry. So it's like a thick short fry. So it's not so big that you kind of, you know, would bend over if you picked up with your fingers. But it's definitely not thin. It is big. And, you know, when you go to your burger places, sure, sweet potato fries and other things are becoming more common. But I find those way more varying in quality than your standard, you know, short, thick Belgian fry.
So it sounds like it would be what we call a steak fry, maybe a little bit thicker and a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's been a long time since I've had a steak, but it definitely is the kind of fry that if you put it next to food, you could eat it very easily with your hands. So normally, obviously, you get the plastic forks. And actually, what's quite funny, so you can ask for the sauce to be put when you have your cone of fries. You can ask for the sauce to be put directly on the fries. You can have it separately so you can dip in as you like. Or sometimes there are these very fancy cones where you have the cone, but then you have a little receptacle at the top for the sauce. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. But they're very easy to either with a fork or with a finger pick up and eat by themselves. But I would say that, you know, it's good enough that there isn't a huge variety in shapes and sizes. And normally it's, thick, easy to pick up and eat.
I think I love standard ones. Standard. The steak ones, which are a little bit thicker than the other ones, I love those. I think I love those.
So does the cut of the fry matter?
Yes, definitely. It makes a difference because it's how it cooks and how the inside of the potato, how well, how soft, how I don't know how to describe that feeling, but for instance, what do they call them? Steak fries. Those are my least favorite because of the thickness of the fry on the inside, because I like the ratio to crispy outside and cooked soft inside. I like the ratio to be better than that. So if we're going to go with a shape of fry, I would go McDonald's, the shape of the McDonald's fry. Not that that's my favorite fry, by no means.
Like shoestring.
Yes, yeah, more shoestring, but shoestring, in my opinion, is a little bit thinner cut. And if they cook them wrong, then they're crunchy like potato chips. So they're not my total favorite, but I do like to eat them. But I just like that size of fry. I do not prefer like Chick-fil-A, the waffle fries, anything that's thicker cut like that, a potato wedge. Those are not my favorites. I will eat them because I love potato, hands down, but that's not my favorite cut. Just a regular thinly cut French fry is perfect.
How dare you speak ill of Chick-fil-A?
Okay, well, just to be clear, Chick-fil-A fries, I used to hate them years ago because I love French fries and I used to hate them. I did not like the ratio, how you know, it was too thick. It was, you know, just the inside of the fry. It gets that feeling to me that like it's not cooked all the way because of the thickness of it. However, because I am gluten-free due to an allergy, it's pretty much the only French fry I can eat now. So I'm being punished and it's the only French fry. So I have now come to appreciate the Chick-fil-A fries because they are fried separately and they're not fried with the chicken. So I can actually eat them and they don't make me sick. So
I think this is the first time ever that I've heard punished and eating Chick-fil-A in the same sentence.
I was never a huge fan. So especially the fries. I would just skip the fries. I wouldn't even order the fries. But now it's my go-to fry.
Oh, man. Now I want to try this. We don't have that in Venezuela. Oh, man. Why you had to mention this? Why? Now, what am I going to do?
So you don't think it's all in our minds?
No, I don't think it's all in our head. There's a difference. There's a difference. I'm convinced that the way you cut it influences the taste, I think. As a matter of fact, when I cut them, they never taste the same. Never. So that's why I'm telling you, I'm convinced there is something, some secret in your hand, in the hands of the one that cut.
All right. I'm curious about sauces and dips for your fries. Vinegar was mentioned in the UK. Like here in the US, in most places, it seems to be ketchup.
What makes a great fry is the ratio of salt on the fry. Because I am very clean. I don't need ketchup. I don't need a lot of things. So if I use ketchup, that means your fries are not that good. So salt is all I need. And if they're fried properly, that's all I need. And so it's the ratio to how long they were fried, the crispy on the fry to salt. And it's delicious.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
I don't need anything else.
All you need is a knife and oil. You can put ketchup, sometimes garlic sauce, which is very popular also. Avocado sauce, maybe, or green sauce. There's a kind of green sauce that's very good. How do you call that in English? Perejil. How do you say perejil in English? Parsley sauce.
Avocado sauce and parsley sauce for fries? Never heard of that one. And now do you put it on top of the fries or?
No, you dip in that way.
One that I always used to do as a kid, which grossed my sister out, was mayo.
Oh, it's very popular. Mayonesa, muy popular.
Yeah, or I would mix mayo, ketchup, and mustard together, swirl it around, and then dip the fries in that.
I like it. And mustard. I love mustard also. I love those three.
So yeah, I think having grown up in the UK, like yeah, ketchup was very often the standard. Although I think in the UK, it also depends which region you're from, because if you go further north, they have things like curry sauce and other mysterious things that I've never really tried. But the classic in Belgium is mayonnaise. And it's funny because I've cycled through different favorites in the eight years that I've lived in Belgium. So when I came here, I was like, well, of course I've got to have fries and mayonnaise. But then you discover a whole world of other sauces that you have no idea. And it almost feels like every fricot you go to will have at least one sauce where you're like, I've never heard of this. So I really like mayonnaise. I really like Andalouse, which is like this, I don't really know what's in it, to be honest, but it's this orange sauce that's a little bit spicy. I guess it's a bit like a spicy cocktail sauce. But my personal favorite at the moment is fresh tartar sauce, which I think is like a sort of it's kind of like mayonnaise-y creamy, but it has some dill or some kind of herbs in it, which just give it a bit of an edge, and it doesn't feel as kind of sickly as mayonnaise. But you can even, in some places, have beef stew on top of your fries if you want. Carbonade flamande, which is Flemish beef stew, which is kind of a classic dish by itself. In some places, you can have that. You can have chopped onions. You can have so many different things. So the classic is mayonnaise. And I think, yeah, if you came as a tourist to Belgium, that is the thing you want to try. But actually, sometimes I'll be at a frit stand and see, like, I don't know, 20 different types of sauces. And I'll be like, oh, what's samurai? What's this? And yeah, just try something new. So that's also the joy of it. And going to different places and seeing what the main sauces are.
Very, very cool. So we're in Venezuela. And if I ask for some French fries, what do I get?
No, in a restaurant, you say, papa frita, por favor. Mira, pollo, carne, papa frita. No, lo que son papa frita. Dámelo con papa frita. Dame dos raciones de papa frita. You know what a ración is? Ración.
Oh, ration.
Exactly. Ración is a certain amount of potatoes in a dish.
Now, is the ration good?
Not really. Not as much as I would like.
Yeah, I guess for we French fry lovers, it's never
enough. No, never enough. Never enough. I don't know what happened with fried things. You always want more if it's fried. It doesn't happen if it's baked or boiled. When something's boiled, it doesn't taste the same. But when it's made with oil, it's different. Not good for the health, but it's more tasty.
Now, Marlon, you showed me a table in your house with giant bags of potatoes on it.
Uh-huh. That's true.
So I'm thinking it's safe to say that
we love potatoes in our house, not only because of the way it tastes, but also because it's better to eat potatoes than to eat arepas that is made of flour. In the sense of health, if you want to be healthier, it's better if you eat potatoes than if you eat rice, spaghettis, or bread. Of course, we eat all of those, but we feel better when we eat potatoes or whatever that comes directly from the ground. I understand that rice comes from the ground and corn also, but it is processed food. But potatoes are not processed food, so they are better for your stomach and better for your health.
Until you fry them.
Until you fry them.
Yeah, I'm that kind of person that will order a salad, but a salad just doesn't seem complete without a side of fries. Isn't that nuts?
I get that, Reggie. I'm like that with bread, I think. I'm a bread fiend. And, you know, I'm the kind of person who, if I have a pizza, I will happily eat the breadsticks and the free bread and the garlic bread. So carbohydrates for the win. But if you're a French fry fiend, I will just leave you with this, because I didn't get around to it. But did you know that in Bruges, there's a fry museum, which is the only museum in the world, apparently. And it's quite interesting because I didn't know the story behind it. I did a bit of research. It's by this guy called Eddie Van Bella, who already opened a chocolate museum, of course, because it's Belgium, called Choco Story. And when he saw how well that did, he decided to open up this frites museum. I've not been to the frites museum because I'm worried it's a bit of a tourist trap, but I will probably go one day just to see what it's about.
The more you talk about Belgium.
You've got to come and eat yourself city.
Yes, I do. Well, thank you so much for coming on to talk about the greatest food on planet Earth.
Thank you, Reggie. I love coming on your podcast and talking about food. It is a pleasure.
Yep. And you have a podcast too, right?
So the name of my podcast is the Over Underrated Podcast, which I co-host with my friend Fran. It's a music podcast where basically we pick a theme, like a genre, like punk, or a place like Glasgow. And we pick a band that might be considered overrated in that theme and a band that might be considered underrated. Then the two of us, plus a guest or two sometimes, we make a playlist trying to argue our point. So normally with the underrated bands, it's that one of us thinks it's underrated and we really want to introduce the act to like a wider audience. With the overrated acts, what's interesting is sometimes one of us will think an act is overrated and the other one doesn't. So we have to try and convince them. So I was successful, for example, on converting Fran to Queens of the Stone Age, but he was not successful in converting me to Crowded House. So it depends. But yeah, I've definitely discovered a lot more new music thanks to it. And, you know, if you're a music lover looking for underrated acts, I think you might like it too.
Marlon, muchísimas gracias for coming on.
Well, my dear friend, now I'm hungry. I want to have fries now. Gracias a ti por esta buena conversación. Amena, nice conversation. Very good. Y vamos a seguir en contacto. Saludos a tu esposa.
Lo haré.
Baby brother, I do have another idea for your podcast. And I was thinking, since I'm plant-based / vegan, I think that you discussing that subject would be great. Because that's part of pop culture now, too. It's a huge fight between fruitarian and keto and all that, but veganism is, you know, that's where I've been for about 10 years. So
That's a great idea. I'll definitely add that to the food faves list. Huge thanks again, big sister.
You're welcome, baby brother. Anytime. Would love to come back.
All right.
I enjoyed it. Thank you, baby brother.
Thank you again. Love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
So regardless of whether you eat them in a cone, which is awesome, by the way, dip them in ketchup, mayo, parsley sauce, sprinkle a little vinegar on them, or just eat them with a little salt and nothing else. I think it's safe to say that French fries definitely belong on the list of food faves. So what do you think? Are French fries one of your faves? Well, that's one of those dumb questions again. Let me rephrase. Would you say that you love French fries as much as we do? Is it your civic duty to eat fried potatoes? I love Belgium. I'd love to know. My email is studio@sonicembassy.com. You can also find the Sonic Embassy on Twitter, Vero, Facebook, Patreon, and IG. And our website is sonicembassy.com. If you enjoy French fries, share this episode so more people can find out about us too. But if you think this podcast is like how my sister feels about Chick-fil-A waffle fries, which I question if we really are blood related, then share this podcast with someone you hate. All right. If you have an idea that you think would make a great episode, then let me know. Thank you so much for listening. I love you, and I hope you'll listen more. There are more episodes of Food Faves in the works, so follow the Sonic Embassy to stay up to date.
Embassy.
Sonic Embassy.